you had known me then, the way I was before, then you'd understand why I can't hold back the tears. Now my life is so different since I gave it to the Lord, and I want to give Him glory while I'm here. I stand before you knowing that it's only by His grace that I am just what I am today. I'm a trophy of grace, a display of His love. I'm part of the results from the old rugged cross that's bloodstained with His precious blood. Oh, I'll never understand why He died in my place. Just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. Oh, there is no way I can repay His love, and the mercy He's shown is more than life to be. There's nothing I can do or say that would be pay the debt of sin He paid for me. My life's a testimony of His mercy, love, and grace. And one day I will thank Him face to face. Grace, a display of His love. I'm part of the results from the old rugged cross that's bloodstained with His precious blood. Though I'll never understand why He died me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. Just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of
coming and you're still humming yesterday's victory tune. You got it all together, but you haven't seen the weather that's coming when the day is through. But if you stop and listen and just pay attention to the song God has today, He knows what you need and you can believe everything He has to say. If God says build an ark, won't be just another rainy day. If God tells you to start, you better not hesitate. He's got a master plan and He's working it, and the best thing for you to day. If God says build an ark, it won't be just another rainy day. Struggling, trying, Almighty's a cry, and I just can't take anymore. I pray to the Father to just come and water the soul with a word from the Lord. A dry and thirsty season is just the right reason to believe God's about to move. In the heat of the day, you just trust and obey. God's got a flood for you. If God says build an ark, it won't be just another rainy day. If God tells you to start, you better not hesitate. You've got a master plan and he's working it, and the best thing for you to do is obey. If God says build an ark, it won't be just another rainy day. He's got a master plan and he's working it, and the best thing for you to do is obey. If God says build an ark, it won't be just another rainy day. If God says build an ark, you better start building an ark. If God says build an ark, it won't be just another rainy day.
That is. The Lord tells you to do something, there's a reason. Amen. Let's all stand and let Brother David come and take the offering as we change the order of the service. Let's sing Be It Unto Me, of course, according to thy word. I think that's the bride's, I'd say that's the bride's song. A lot of them are, but because Mary, you know, she opened up the New Testament by being impregnated by the Word, because she said, be it unto me. And here we are again. It's time for the Word to be made flesh or to be birthed. And so let us say the same thing. Be it unto me,
amen,
according to thy Word, that Word which the angel spoke to us. Oh, be it unto me.
Your heart's desire tonight.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated for a little bit if you'd like. Samantha will come sing tonight. She'll appreciate the opportunity to be with you this weekend, and just like to take this moment to thank you for allowing us to come and share our ministries and our hearts and our time with you this weekend. And I've certainly enjoyed the services, enjoyed what the Lord's been saying to us, and
amen,
looking forward to more of what God will have for us tonight. And sorry we won't be able to do a whole lot of fellowshipping tonight after church. We're going to try to make our way back 500 and some odd miles, so y'all pray for us as we make our way back. And I've got a Bible study at home that this February I've been at for about 5 years. There's about 45 or 50 little hungry eagles that are waiting on me Monday night. And God has just absolutely used the Monday nights to really bless the people. And so I've been dedicating. I tell the brothers anywhere I am in the country, anywhere I am in the world, I'm sitting right there in that chair on Monday night ready to teach the Word. And so it's been a real blessing to the church. It's helped a lot of people, you know, in preaching. Fast as I preach, fast as Brother Carroll preaches, my pastor, you know, it's hard to get everything. And you take time to teach and you break it down and break everything down kind of where people can understand a little bit. And when you're preaching, you know, you say, get saved, get the Holy Ghost, get born again. It all means the same thing. But when you're teaching, it doesn't mean the same thing. Because being saved doesn't mean being born again. So it's really a nice opportunity to slow down and get all them things in there and really teach them. And some of the very things that I've shared with you this weekend, and the things that the Lord's given us this weekend, has been some of the things that has rotated off of those Bible studies. And the Lord's really just given us some tremendous time there with the people. So we going to try to make our way back for that. So I covet your prayers that the Lord help us have a good, safe journey tonight. And I figure if I get it about right, I think we'll be home somewhere around 2:33 in the morning, something like that. So being that I'm full-time, I get to sleep in a little bit, and I don't have to worry about getting up for a job, and that kind of helps a little. But I certainly desire your prayers, because anytime you're out on the road, you know how it is. People nowadays, they'll shoot you if you cut them off at a red light or something. So certainly pray for us. And again, thank you for allowing us to come, and I hope this won't be the last. I hope we get to come be with you again very soon. We'd say maybe the Lord willing, this is however soon, whatever soon means. You define that, and I'll come when it's ready. And we certainly appreciate Brother Tony and Brother Daniel and the ministry here and all the saints here and you musicians and everybody. I'm just happy to see the little church going on and coming on in the name of the Lord Jesus and serving the Lord. And I thank God. Look around this room, this last couple of services, this room is just full of young people. And I like that. I like to see the people coming together. The church of tomorrow is sitting right here, we say, but really I think it's the church of today, actually. And I think we're learning that now, that you give this message about 5 more years with a lot of these older brothers going off the scene. And I want you young boys and girls to really listen to this tonight and listen to what Brother Ben's going to say. And there ain't going to be too many turns of the sun. And you and I, us young men and young women, are going to be the leaders of this message. So whatever God they had, whatever truth they had, we need to latch on to with all of our hearts. And get ready in just a little while, because it ain't going to be too long. And some of these older saints are going to go by the way of the grave, and somebody's going to have to come on and be the housewife and the preacher and the evangelist and the apostle and what more to preach to people and tell them what's right, tell them what's the truth. So you just remember, every opportunity you have in the house of God, it's an opportunity for you to train yourself to be a leader in the future. And we know the message is taking a great change, a great corner. A lot of the older brothers passed away in 2012. I think there was 18 or 19 some odd brothers that passed, pastors of churches. And there's got to be somebody come along taking churches on and keep going with them churches. So we certainly thank the Lord for that. And I'm glad to see the room full of young people. I just like that and thank God for that. And so we want to thank you real kindly for your invitation and for your love and hope that the Lord will just continue to bless you out here and just continue to help you and strengthen you and always hold up your pastor's hands that he can lead you right and the brothers here that preach and be the right kind of leaders. As I said this morning, I hope we're better followers, Brother Roberts, than we are better leaders, I suppose. Being a better follower probably gets us down the road a lot quicker. So we're very thankful for that. And good to see Brother Perryman here today. And Brother Tony was quoting the name the other day, and I didn't recognize him until I saw him sitting over there this morning. And I certainly remember our talk, brother, there at the other little church at Brother Prater's, and such a wonderful fellowship we had. And I thought on that. I feasted off that fellowship for a couple of days, all them testimonies, how God moved and healed and saved and all that. It's just really wonderful. So it's just a beautiful thing. And I want y'all to know how much I have enjoyed being in your fellowship this weekend. And thank you for the nice little birthday thing. I wasn't going to tell on it. I wasn't going to say a word about it. Just let it slide on by. And somebody told on me. And I know who it was, too, and I'm going to get him. Amen. But anyhow, I just want to take a few minutes and just thank you and give you just a few. Amen. That's right. just give you a few words of love and encouragement. And certainly as I travel in different places, I meet many different situations on the field. And around this message, there's a very peculiar grouping of people. And they're probably some of the most odd people you've ever met, because we're not governed by any kind of an organization. It's kind of a every man does what's right in his own eyes sort of thing. And because of that, an evangelist has to really have a lot of wisdom, and he has to know how to handle things and when to talk and when not to talk and all like that. So as I always ask everybody, everywhere I go when I'm closing a meeting, I want to ask you people the same tonight to pray for me, that you hold me up before the Lord, that God will use me, that I can be of a benefit to other people and help them, and that the Lord will give me wisdom to be, you know, to be the right kind of follower in front of God's children. So I covet your prayers. Will you pray for me?
Amen.
If you have any will, just raise your hand up like this. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I appreciate that. Because when the devil tells me nobody loves me, I'm going to tell him you raised your hand so different. Have you all enjoyed Sam singing this weekend?
Amen.
Amen. Sure I have.
She's a good one. She's my favorite singer. Even if she did forget my birthday, that's right. Here's an old song. It kind of goes fast and slow a little bit, but you can clap your hands on some of these. The circuit rider preacher went riding through the land with a rifle on his shoulder and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people of a blessed promised land as he went riding, singing along.
Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning,
oh yes, I'm
leaning on the everlasting arms.
He preached the coming judgment of fire and brimstone, and a glorious endless heaven of the justified alone. As he rode across the mountain, you could hear him sing his song as he went riding on. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Old and rusty,
and it's hanging on the wall.
His Bible's worn and dusty,
and it's
seldom touched at all.
But his message from this Bible will meet us at judgment day, for God's truth keeps marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Marching on. And have a good Sunday.
old song. I like that one. I'm going to throw one on you. You ready? When the church said, hey. Come on, you don't have to know the words too much to sing this one. Amen. That's your part, in case you didn't know. Yeah. Gonna serve him. Amen. The Bible's true. I believe it. It's the word of God. Amen. Amen. We believe he's coming. Church sing.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, buddy, play a little guitar for me. Come on. Worship God. Amen. Come on, you can clap your hands. He's coming.
Amen. Amen.
Daylight savings made sure it's at least 1 hour closer for us tonight. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Matthew tonight. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 44. I'm going to speak to you tonight on expectation during the delay. Expectation during the delay. Matthew 24, verse 44. When you get it, say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all catch on quick. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a wise, faithful, and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. Now I want you to notice a couple things here. First of all, if you will notice, Jesus is asking us to be ready. Now the word that he uses here in the Greek is seasonable of persons ready or prepared to do something or to receive one's coming. So Jesus is not asking us just to pretend like we're ready or to assume that we're ready, but he's asking us to get in season, to get ready in season and expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus, which could happen before we quit this service. Y'all realize he could come before I get done preaching? I had a brother ask me one time, said, how in the world could that be so? I said, brother, you don't know what things are taking place right now. That in just a few moments' time, everything could be winding up right here underneath us and we wouldn't even know it. And by the time we walk out those back doors and start to get in our car, Jesus could come and sweep us out. I believe it's that close. Now notice here, another thing I want you to pay attention to before we pray over this. You'll notice that the servant of God who is doing the right thing, he's in the field or in his job, doing it, waiting upon the coming of the Lord. In other words, he's not just saying, well, Jesus is coming, so let's run up all of our credit card bills and take out multiple loans. And, you know, the Catholic Church ain't going to pay for it all anyway, so let's live high on high. But he's doing responsibly what God asked him to do. You can understand that. Now, notice in verse 48, but if the evil servant shall say, where? Where does your Bible say he's talking from? In his heart. Now, notice, the subconscious is where you really live. What you are in that subconscious is what you really are. So what the man really believes is speaking forth now. That he believes the Lord is delaying his coming. And this man is absolutely right. He's absolutely right. Now if you'll notice, his attitude in verse 49, his behavior, reflects what he believes. Now, I'm going to tell you something, children. It's this simple. It's up to you how you look toward this delay. It's your attitude toward it what's going to determine how you're going to live. When Jesus is delaying his coming, there's a delay, a time of long suffering that we are to get ready and prepare for the coming of the Lord. And it's our attitude during this delay that's going to determine how we're going to act about it. So you'll notice then that the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of. So it's not just honing down to just the day, but now to the hour, even the hour in which that he is looking for him. Now notice this in questions and answers. Brother Bam said, we're just to wait on the coming of the Lord. Just wait. Keep your lamps trimmed, all filled full of oil. Pray up every hour, not every day, every hour. Just keep ready. Be ready. Be sweet. In the message? Yeah. We can be sweet in the message. Be sweet and watching. And Brother Bam sings the song, we're watching for the coming of that glad millennial day when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray for our Lord is coming back to earth again. That's it. That's the hope of the church this hour. So what is the hope of the church? His coming. Amen. Now that I got you all thoroughly confused, let's pray. Father, how we thank you tonight for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your grace. We are so privileged, Lord, to be able to open our Bibles tonight and read from thy holy word. As we come into your great presence, we're asking tonight that your great spirit will unction us into your heavenly place, God. Give us revelation. Give us divine utterance. Lord, may you come and take my lips and my thoughts and their lives and their thinking, Lord, tonight. And may you tune us in, synchronize us to the things of God. How we need you, Lord, more tonight than we've ever needed you. In an hour that people are not looking for your coming, we want to be ready. I pray you'll help us, strengthen us, and speak to us through your word in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. All four of you can be blessed tonight for saying amen. The church said,
amen.
That's still a little weak. Can we try it again? And the church said,
amen.
See, I knew y'all had it in you. You're just not letting go.
Praise God.
You may be seated, man. The Lord bless you. Don't be afraid of getting Pentecostal. Some of you act like you're scared to death to be emotional or something. Don't be afraid of getting emotional. Something strikes your soul, say, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It ain't going to hurt you, I promise. It'll probably help you along the way. That's right. You say, well, I'm just a quiet person. That's all right. God delivers you of that old devil just as much as anybody else. That's right. Now, notice this real carefully now. We want to take this scripture and just really break it down and dissect it tonight. Because what I want to show you by the help of the Lord is how important our expectation is to the coming of the Lord. Now, you'll understand that this man that Jesus is referring to is a man that is truly looking for the coming of the Lord. Actually, both of them are looking for the coming of the Lord. The wicked servant and the righteous servant are both looking for the coming of the Lord. Now, we understand that the wicked servant is speaking from a realm in which that he really believes that God is delaying. That there's no, you know, he had a season where he was ready, a season where he was praying, a season where he was studying or whatever it might be. And he began to say within himself, you know, the Lord is delaying this thing. And it's not getting any better, as we'd say. Things are getting worse. And he begins to lose his expectation of the coming of the Lord. Now, you'll notice that the Bible here records that, as you read on down through those chapters or through those verses we read in 24th chapter, you'll find that his portion is later allotted with the hypocrites, or Luke says the unbelievers. So this is a man whose name was on the book of life, not on the Lamb's book now, but on the book of life. He had an allotment given to him by divine inheritance. He had a portion of somehow God had allotted to him some spiritual part of himself that he was able to serve God, maybe like Judas, justification and sanctification. But after the time of the delay or the preparation time, he began to think, there's no need for me to even try to, you know, be ready because the Lord is delaying his coming. How many people around the world have we seen like that today? We preach the coming of the Lord year after year, time after time, moment after moment. Well, bless God, Brother Ben, we've been preaching it for 40 years, that's right. And if the Lord tarry, we'll keep on preaching it until Jesus comes. Because it is a promise in the Word of God that where I go, I will go and prepare a place for you. And then when I come, I will receive you unto myself. That's the Word of the Lord. We cannot break it. We cannot change it. We cannot alter it. That's the way God set it up. That's the way God will keep it. Now, we understand that we are in a time where God, or a cycle rather, where God is allowing us to get ourselves ready for the coming of the Lord. As I told you last night, I am so thankful that Jesus didn't come 5 years ago. You say, well, that's crazy. But listen, I wasn't as ready 5 years ago as I am right now. I'm glad that Jesus didn't come when I first got saved, because I wouldn't have known hardly any of his grace or any of his mercy or his spirit that touches my life in healing or in deliverance. All the things that he's allowed me to experience during this delay has been absolutely wonderful. I thank God for every moment of it. Because for you and I, we recognize that this time of delay is not a delay on God's part, but it's his long-suffering waiting for the church to come into the readiness of what they need to be. Now, you'll notice here that Brother Bam says we're to wait on the coming of the Lord. Just wait. Not to be strange, not to make up some kind of big organization, not to have this or that or the other, but we're just to wait on the coming of the Lord and be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Be filled with oil, have our lamps trimmed, have our lives clear, have all bitterness out of our heart and all that sort of thing, and be ready for the coming of the Lord, watching at any moment that Jesus will appear for you and I. Well, you say, I believe Jesus has already come. I feel sorry for you then, because Jesus, you have no expectation of his coming at any moment. I believe God's here. I believe he descended on the day of Pentecost. But listen, his second corporal return did not take place on Sunset Mountain. The physical corporal body of Jesus did not come to take the elected out of here on Sunset Mountain. When he come down in the cloud and had his photograph of them seven angels, that was not the physical return of the Lord Jesus. And remember, all the way plumb up to 1965, Brother Branham is still looking for the physical and corporal return of Jesus Christ to bring the bride out of this world. Now, we understand that the hope of the church, the hope of the church is the readiness and the preparedness of the church of the living God. Now, notice this. If we would see Jesus, Brother Abraham explains to us that the reason the Jews and the Samaritans received his first coming is because they were trained and they were ready, looking for the advent, the first advent of the coming of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus comes to the earth and he descends in his first advent as the first coming and in the form of the Messiah, they were looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. You remember the woman at the well? When she was there, she said, we know that when Messiah cometh, when Messiah cometh, that he'll tell us these things. He'll do these things of what you have done. He said, I am he that speaks, sir, I receive your prophet. So all of these ones that were looking, they were looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. But you and I were different. We were not trained. We were not taught. Matter of fact, as I told you this morning, the Gentiles had no place whatsoever that they were ever led by God in any way whatsoever. They were a people that were a bunch of idol worshipers. They were heathens. Maybe God would take one here, one there, and one there, and you use them in certain ways, but the entire Gentile group wasn't nothing but a bunch of heathens. But yet in his first coming, you think about it, he spoke 80% on his second coming, more than he did his own coming when he was on the earth. You know why? Because Jesus is more excited to come get you and get this bride more than what you ever realized in your life. His entire whole ministry and mission of this life has been to get us ready for his coming, that we can live forever with the Lord. Now notice, the Jews were looking for him. The Gentiles were looking in all sorts of other directions. The Samaritans were looking for him. All of these groups that came from Ham, Shem, and Japheth, every one of them was going to be given a promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus, but it would be in certain dispensations of time. You realize this is the reason why, that when Jesus came the first time, that he would take the scroll in the temple and read the parts about the first coming and then stop right in the middle of the scripture and not finish it about the dreadful day of the Lord. That's the whole reason that Malachi 4 and 5 and 6 is divided up in two ministries. When you read about Elijah coming, there's Elijah of Luke 1, where John the Baptist and the spirit and the power of Elias, said the Bible, which the word Elias there is the Greek rendering of the word Elijah. So you take Elijah, he comes in the first coming, and he says he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That's John. But right in the middle of the verse, God turns right around and says, but he shall also turn the heart of the children back to the apostolic fathers. Why? Because there is 2,000 years of church history between the first coming of Elijah and the second coming of Elijah. Now you understand that when Elijah comes back to this earth, it'll be the same type of ministry that it was when he came the first time. The first time that he came, he was a bulldozer. He took all the high places and made them low. Took all the low places and made them high. He took all the truth of the word of God and prepared the way. And that word that he uses there, when he said he shall prepare the way, it was an oriental custom that when a king or some righteous somebody or some holy somebody would come down the line, that they would move all the sticks and the calamity and all that aside, that they could have a smooth ride all the way up in it. And John was called of God, amen, to be able to prepare the way of the Lord for his coming. He's coming. He's coming. He said he's coming, and he that will come, he'll have his fan in his hand. He'll thoroughly purge his floor. Hallelujah. And this coming of Elijah was a forerunning of the first advent of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now think about it. Here we are 2,000 some years later, and that same scripture is beginning to repeat itself again, that Elijah has been sent back to the earth again, and he has prepared the way for what? The second return, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to get us ready to go out of this old world, out of Satan's Eden, into an eternal place with God. And all that believe it, blink. Amen. Notice here in the message, expectancy. Now notice how your expectation is a great thing in the coming of the Lord Jesus. You know I'm just kidding you, don't you? Now notice, your expectation is powerful. You've got to have a right expectation, because if you don't have an expectation, you can't have faith.
That's right.
If you don't have faith, you can't have an expectation. As a matter of fact, your expectation will produce your faith. So if a person, let's take for example, say, oh, I don't know, say it's somebody's birthday. I don't know, right, Sam? And you take somebody, and in their life, they go to looking, well, you know, that day is going to arrive. It's going to come on down the line, and after a while, you know, they're going to expect a little something that day. Maybe a happy birthday or an ice cream somewhere or another or something like that. Their expectation is ready, and they believe that on that day something's going to happen. Why? Because they've got a faith in the expectation of that hour. Now, it's no different for you and I as children of God. We are expected that any moment Jesus is going to arrive. At any moment, we believe he's already descended down. He's already brought us the shout message to get us ready. He's already spoke to us, thus saith the Lord. He's already given us all the revelation we need to get ready. And at any moment, we are expected that Jesus will break through those dimensions and at a speed so terrific and so fast that your natural eye won't even be able to catch him. He'll come for the bride and sweep her out of here, and the devil won't even know where she went. Hallelujah. She'll be taken out of here so quickly the devil won't even see her go when she goes. Notice Brother Graham says, now watch this in terms of your expectation. There's a lot of things that we could preach on this coming of the Lord, but I want to get to this part about expectation quickly, because your food will settle and the time will keep going and you'll get tired and I'll miss my point. So I want to get it out before we get too long in the night. Notice he said, if you come expecting to get help from God, this is expectancy in Owensburg, Kentucky in 53. He said, God will meet your expectancy.
Amen.
Now notice that. If you expect it, God will meet it.
That's right.
So whatever you expect, that's what God will bring. If you come to the church house saying, well, praise the Lord, I guess it's just going to be a regular old, well, that's exactly what you'll get.
Right.
It's a regular old service. But if you come to the house of the Lord saying, praise God, God's going to speak to us. He's going to give us a blessing of His presence. You will get exactly what you expect.
Amen.
You ever notice people in the house of the Lord, there'll be one odd person that comes in there and they'll say, praise the Lord and hallelujah, and they'll be worshiping God. And you think, what in the world's the matter with that guy anyways? I'll tell you what's the matter with him. He's got an expectation that God's going to meet him in that seat. And in spite of what anybody else thinks, he's sitting there ready. She's sitting there ready. Oh God, bless me. Meet my need, Lord. Speak to my heart. And God will come right down and meet what they are expecting.
Amen.
Do you understand that the very reason many of us don't get what we want is because we don't expect it?
That's right.
You understand? We let the devil rob that expectancy right from our heart. Don't you realize that's what a lot of these doctrines around the message do? If they preach he's already come, if they preach Brother Adam's going to come back and preach us through a little room, if they preach he's got to shoot a brown bear, he's got to fly in a helicopter or an airplane or whatever, do you realize what they're doing? They're robbing from you and I the expectancy that the only thing left is you being ready and Jesus coming back.
Amen.
And when we lose that expectancy, we lose our contact with God.
That's right. Amen.
Right. Notice he said, well, he always does, and wherever you go or whatever you do, what you expect will bring your faith.
Thank you,
Jesus. If you expect it, you're going to believe for it. Let's take an example, can we? You take a person that's going to get a UPS delivered to them. Y'all know what UPS is for the bride, don't you? That's United Predestinated Seed. Y'all had it wrong. You thought it was United Postal Service. But for the elect of God, it's a little bit different, ain't it? Now, notice that very special something that you're waiting on. If you know that you know, get on the computer and it tells you a certain time this thing's going to show up and this is going to happen and that guy's going to be there. You'll watch it come from Florida. You'll come all the way up from Florida up to Massachusetts and it'll bang itself over to Oklahoma and you think, Lord, have mercy. It was right here in my backyard. I could have walked it across to my house nearly. But you're watching, you're waiting, you don't understand the process, but you're watching that delivery sign. And you know that at any moment, that guy, when it says in transit, out for delivery, you know he's going to show up at your doorstep. Oh, glory. That's the way it should be for you and I as a child of God. Every moment we're living on this earth, we should be sitting there waiting, looking out the front door of eternity. When's Jesus going to break through the clouds? When's he coming back for me? I'm ready, Lord, I'm ready. Any moment you want to come. But notice what you expect will bring your faith. So if you don't have an expectancy, you don't have any faith. Friends, it's just as simple as what you expect is what you get. You ever heard people say, you know, if it's going to happen, it always happens to me.
Praise
God. You know, I was in a place here the other day. I was trying to think where it was. I was out in Christiansburg, I believe it was, up in Virginia. And there's a guy, I remember what it was. He was on the way. I was a place called... Spartanville, or no, well, anyhow, I was on the way home there. Coming out, was on the way up to the meeting, actually, I think, rather than come home. And we stopped at this little McDonald's there, and there was a guy standing there at the counter, you know, and I accidentally cut right in front of him. He was standing on the side, I thought he already ordered. And, you know, and I stepped in there and I ordered my thing, and she looked, she said, sir, and she said, what are you waiting on? He said, I'm waiting to be waited on. And I thought, I reached over and grabbed my arm and said, buddy, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I thought you were sitting there waiting. That girl was acting. He said, oh, don't worry about it, buddy. He said, if it's going to happen to anybody, it's going to happen to me. And the Holy Spirit struck my mind. I thought, that's exactly right. Because you expect it to be that way, that's exactly what happens. And it will bring it about every way, every time you do anything, everywhere you go. What you expect will produce exactly what you're looking for. Now, standing right out there, friend, you can understand that if it's just that simple, waiting in line for a hamburger, what about the promise of God? What about the things of the Word? That you say, well, if anybody's going to get sick and die, I'm going to be the one that gets it. If anybody's going to get cancer, well, it's all in my family, I'm probably going to get it. You keep on looking that way, and your expectation will produce a faith, and you'll believe that thing, that lie of the devil, and it'll wind up right in your lap as sure as you're sitting here. Why? What you expect will bring what you believe.
Amen.
If people believed in the coming of the Lord, tell me why they don't live like it.
Right.
Folks don't live nowhere near like Jesus could come at any moment.
No.
They're too busy worrying about their bank accounts and their investments and this stock and Dow Jones and every other Jones in the world, instead of keeping their eyes on the fact that Jesus could come at any moment and your 401k could be completely obsolete. I'm going to tell you, friends, the devil can have every bit of it, because when my Jesus comes, I'm going out of here in a bolt of lightning, and I don't care what takes place, what's coming or going. When Jesus comes, let out the whole world if they want to have it. I want to be ready for the Lord Jesus when he comes. Notice again, he said, if you come tonight, he said, saying, well, there's nothing to it. He said, that's just the way you'll go back home, with nothing to it, he says. If you come tonight saying, well, if I don't get prayed for, I'll go home and won't be healed. That's just the way you'll go, he said. He said, but if you come here tonight saying, I come for one sole purpose, and that is to contact Christ for my body or my soul. He said, you'll go home just as happy. Right. My Lord, you mean people on the message can be happy?
Amen.
You say, bless God, I am happy. Well, email your face, because they don't know it yet. You know what I'm saying? Folks walking around, bless God, I got the joy of the Lord. Don't you want what I want? No, it might be contagious. I wouldn't want what some people around this message have. Ain't got no joy, ain't got no peace. Come on, somebody. Ain't got nothing in their heart to make them happy. Listen, if the coming of our Savior and our King and our husband don't make you shout for joy, something's wrong with your revelation. Brother, there should be something in our hearts every day we live. Not just on Sunday when an evangelist is in town. Not just when the pastor's preaching one of them good sermons. But every day you live, you should be waking up. Is this the hour? Is this the moment that Jesus is going to come back for me? Any moment I know he's going to come busting through that door. But he says, that's just the way you'll go. As happy as you can be, said, because you'll contact him. Look at his very next words. Faith knows no defeat. What in the world has faith got to do with expectancy? Because they're relations. They tie it together. What you expect will bring your faith, and what you have faith in will bring your expectancy. Listen, friend, you don't have to believe the word to make something come to pass. You can believe an outright lie and make it come to pass. The devil ever got something in your mind, so-and-so in the church don't like you? Anybody outside of me ever get that idea? So-and-so don't like me. So-and-so don't love me. They looked at me funny. Who knows, friends? They could have had irritable bowel or gas in their stomach reading they looked at you funny. Now, come on, don't look at me like a bunch of geese. You know I'm telling you the truth. But the devil will get right there in your mind and start giving you a bunch of this and a bunch of that. Well, so-and-so don't like him. So-and-so don't this and so-and-so don't that. And every time you see that person or think of them or hear their name mentioned, that old something in your heart will raise up. Well, that's right. You know, I don't like them much neither. And I'll tell you what, if anybody's going to get it, I'll lay it on them. Because I kept quiet all these years and I'm about tired. Well, that's exactly right. Because you had faith in that old lie of the devil that said that your brother or your sister was against you, and your faith brought your behavior, and your behavior brought what you expected. And every time you come to church, that's all you heard, that's all you saw.
Right. Come on now.
Praise the Lord. And you say, well, bless God, the way she plays them drums. I tell you, she plays them drums in a certain way. Hallelujah. I just don't like the way she plays them. And that little girl could play them with all of her heart, and God blessing her. But because you believe some old crazy lie. Well, I tell you, when Brother Tony preaches, he looks right at me when he says that. Where in the world are we preachers supposed to look? Somebody tell me. Where are we supposed to look? But yet people get so nervous and so scared. And, oh, I don't like the way he plays that guitar. And I don't like the way she plays the piano. I don't like it. You know what it is. You've allowed the devil to put some lie in your mind. And you believe that the husband will get that against his wife and vice versa sometimes. And man, he don't love me or she don't love me. And the next thing you know, they go to fussing and fighting. You know why? Because they put faith and confidence in that old lie of the devil. I'm going to tell you what we need around this message, children. We need some people that can tell the devil, you need to shut your mouth and listen to what God said and what God said only.
Amen.
But if Satan can start planting little seeds of doubt, well, maybe I'm not a believer. Maybe I'm not. Maybe, 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 maybe. After a while, you go to believe in that bunch of trash.
That's right.
Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm not. And you keep feeding that thing. You keep feeding it day and night, telling this, telling that, telling the other. But I say, but bless God, I tell you, I went into church and the old devil told me I probably wasn't saved. Somebody tell me how the devil become an authority on being saved.
The devil probably said, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. How does the devil know he ain't got it? But you understand what it is, children, we allow the devil to plant all kinds of things in our minds and plant all kinds of seeds of doubt. And we begin believing that trash, and the next thing you know, we expect it every time we come to church.
That's
the reason a wife is sitting there stomping her shoe, looking at her watch when he walks in through the door. She's already mad at him. She's already got it in for him, and she's expecting him to be in some kind of a negative or a bad way. So she's got her faith, she's got her expectancy, and her behavior sitting there watching that watch when he walks in the door. He could be 1.2 nanoseconds late. And bless God, where in the name of God have you been? I've been standing here waiting at this door all this time. Hallelujah to God. Well, I guess y'all ain't had any problems in Arkansas, have you? We're eat up with it in Tennessee. But you understand what it is. It's the people that take things into their heart and they believe, they've got confidence in what the devil would tell you. Do you realize, friends, that if the devil puts a thought in your mind and you believe it, that he is using your own measure of faith against you?
That's right.
He is putting things in your mind and your heart to believe it this way or believe that way. And some of us are a bunch of old trash that don't even need a second's worth of our time, even trying to think about it a second time for that matter. But the devil will come over and over and over and go, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to take that word in our hearts and put it on our lips and put it in our thoughts and be like David. Put it on the fingers of my hand. Put it on the bedpost where I can meditate day and night upon the things of God. And the more you keep your mind on what's right, the more that you'll be able to overcome that old bunch of lying stuff that gets all of us in a bunch of trouble. Woo, come on, brother man, preach. I think I will. Gets us all in trouble. I done looked in the pantry this morning, or I should say the Holy Ghost has, and I done seen that all of us got some real ugly skeletons in our closet. Y'all still ain't going to say amen on none of that, are you? You're just going to hold all you can hold. Bless God, not me. Hallelujah. That's all right. The Lord Jesus got your number. Don't you worry about it. Well, you say the blood of Christ on me, I'm perfect. You might be in your soul, brother, sister, but that flesh of yours ain't never been perfect. And it's born between the... Come on now, somebody say amen. It's born between the serpent and Eve. It's of the evil one. It's the devil. It's all kinds of everything that's ungodly. The Bible said it's an enemy, but think about what God done to your enemy. God, Jesus said, love your enemy. And that's what Jesus done for you and I, brother Daniel. He loved his enemy. Hallelujah! That he could birth that spirit of Christ in my heart. Notice, oh my, notice faith knows no defeat. Faith is perfect.
That's right.
Faith brings things when there's no things to be brought. Faith creates. Faith takes doubt away, takes negative things and makes them positive. How beautiful, Brother Ben says.
Yeah.
Takes negative things and makes them positive. So, if your expectation is perfect, your faith can be perfect. If your expectation can bring things and expect things to be brought when there's no things to be brought, your faith can bring that on the scene. If your expectation will know no defeat, if you expect not to be defeated, your faith will hasten what you're expecting. Oh God, come on. Somebody say amen or praise the Lord or something. You can't just sit there quiet on this kind of preaching. Some of you got to move. Come on, something's got to get down in your heart that tells you this is the truth. But you know what it is? You know what I believe? I believe some of you sitting there this weekend letting the devil beat the tide out of you and telling you that you can't get it, that it's not yours. I defy that devil in the name of Jesus. Every person that's sitting in this room tonight can have a double portion and a triple and a quadruple portion of everything that God's got for your life. Tell him you're not a bunch of failures and a bunch of offscour. You are the precious, redeemed bunch of God that Jesus wants to bless you and give you the fullness of the abundance of his power.
Amen.
Don't let that devil sit there and tell you you can't attain to this. It's a lie.
Amen.
You can. You can be more than what you recognize that you can be. All you have to do, as I preach you this week, and yield yourself over and watch and see if God can't take the worst of the worst and make him the best of the best.
Amen.
My. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Notice Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, oh my, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Oh, what an expectation. That in nothing he would be ashamed. Now think. He says, but with all boldness, and as always, so now also Christ be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. The word he uses here for expectation is anxious and persistent expectation. So it wasn't a casual thing that he picked up Sunday morning and then hung back in the closet on Sunday night. Come on, somebody. Not some casual, well, I believe the message. That old casual stuff ain't going to get you nowhere. The Bible said the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Do you understand that if you sit right there, do you think you're the only church in the message that's gone through troubles? Do you think you're the only people in the world that's went through hard things? I'm going to tell you right now, there are people around this world being shook like you've never seen in all the years we've been in this end time message. But brother, sister, that's a good sign for the elect of God. Because when mama goes to flapping her wings and blowing out all the fluff, that means it's time for maturity. It's flight time. It's getting in the heavenly time. It's getting up there in the realm of God where we can have all things are possible.
Amen.
When God goes to pulling that soft fur out from underneath us, that's when we find that we can really master all circumstances if we will let God just move into our heart and give us confidence. You realize, friends, a lot of the reason people don't do any better than what they do is they have no confidence in themselves.
That's right.
They don't believe that they can accomplish anything. They don't believe. You see, you preach a sermon like this, and folks will sit right here in church and think the very minute we say the benediction, they've got to walk out that back door, and they've got to live every word that was ever preached to them. Right then. Do you recognize that no matter how high the word is preached to you, God ain't expecting you to make it live right then.
Right.
He knows it's going to take time.
Right.
You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to die. Come on, children, don't get quiet on me. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to labor. You're going to have to labor for the presence of God. Oh, God, that thing I heard on Sunday. Lord, if it takes me a year and a half to make it flesh, give me the strength that I need. Hallelujah! To make that thing flesh in my life. But the devil wants instant results. This ain't no push-button gospel. This ain't no microwave pop-going Holy Ghost. If you're going to get it, it'll take years sometimes to birth these things into your soul and into your life.
That's right.
But what we do is let the devil beat us over the head and tell us, you're not worthy. You're scum. You're no good. You are just as good as everybody else.
Amen.
That old expression when I used to work in the factory. See that old boy over there? They'd say, I'd say, yes, sir. He puts his pants leg on one leg at a time just like you do.
That's right.
And if you're sitting there and got, and the old expression is down in Tennessee, if you're sucking wind, you've got just as much opportunity. Hallelujah! You've got just as much right as anybody else on the face of this earth. Come on, somebody. The Spirit of God wants you to recognize you have the potential of being greater than what you believe about your own self. Paul said, my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Do we have that tonight? Do we have this earnest expectation that nothing we will be ashamed in it? He said that Christ shall be magnified in his body, whether by life or by death. Now I'll ask you, did that come to pass? Did Paul's expectation come to pass? Was Christ magnified in his life? You answer me. Was Christ magnified in his death? Look at him out there with Nero and on that chopping block just a few hours. He's getting ready to go up there in his head, separated from his torso. And yet he looks out there, right there facing death, right in the face. And sees that old bee of death coming down, buzzing, buzzing. And he hollers out, death, where's your sting? And grave, where's your victory? But thanks be to God that gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Even in death, Paul was magnifying Christ.
Amen.
His body. Why did he do it? Because that was his expectation.
That's right.
He expected it and he got what he expected.
Amen.
You know, that's the reason why we get to such a place where, praise God, I tell you, I woke up this morning, the old devil said, bless his holy name. No, let's not bless the devil's holy name, let's bless God. Years ago, you know, back Pentecostal apostolic, mom and dad was apostolic, and saying the old devil said, bless his holy name. Let's stop blessing the devil, friends. He ain't nothing but a liar. He's a squatter. He ain't got no power. He's a dog without teeth. You know why? My Jesus knocked him out of Calvary. He can just get slobber on you. He can't bite you. Any real child of God that sees him coming after he gets done gumming, ooh, get that devil slobber off of me. You nasty thing, you. He ain't got no authority over a child of God. Come on, somebody. The devil has no right. The devil has no funny thing over the child of God. If you've got the Holy Ghost tonight, if an angel was made to be your servant and the devil's a fallen angel, guess who the devil was made to serve? You. You were made to be ruler over all things, heaven and earth. Jesus said, it's been given into my hands. And what I've got, I give unto them in Jesus' name. You don't have to sit around like a bunch of ignorant knotheads on a log somewhere. I hope one of these days, you know, I get the thing straight. Brother, you better grab your sword. You better grab your shield, your helmet of salvation. Come on, somebody. And you better meet that devil on the front line and say, Satan, this is my property. This is what God gave me. Come on, somebody. God gave me this property. It's mine. It's mine. And I expect it to be mine. Romans 8:18-19. For I reckon the sufferings this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. All creation is expecting you to come to your rightful place.
Amen.
Now, sister, don't feel left out when it says sons, because the Bible normally doesn't address women, because the man is the woman's leader. So by addressing the man, that means there's some women that's going to follow those men.
Right.
Come on, sister, you help me. There's going to be some women that will follow those men, because the man was made to be the woman's leader. So if he's coming to manifestation, she's coming right up behind him. Oh, glory to God. She may not be out there speaking squirrels and driving storms back into the wilderness, but I tell you, she's got that broom in her hand, and she brooms in the name of Jesus, and there's not enough devils out of hell to take them kids that she's prayed for out of her hands.
Amen.
The earnest expectation, the creature, the creation is waiting for the manifestation of these sons. If all of heavens and earth is expecting you to come, then that means the rocks would cry out in faith that the sons of God will be manifested one day. Oh, glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Notice again the anxious and persistent expectation. You ever see a little boy? It's Christmas time.
Right.
He knows he's got some presents under the tree. Now, I'm not one of these guys that believe in all this paganism stuff. You know, I'm talking about Santa Claus and Easter bunnies and that nonsense. But you know, little old kids, they got this certain something about them. They want a little something every time it comes holiday time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they know that, they, you know, just during the nighttime, they know when they wake up, there's going to be something sitting out there for them waiting somehow or another. Oh, my. And he's sitting on the edge of his seat. He can't sleep of a night. He's sitting there rolling. He'll toss this way and toss that way. And he'll dream, I know it's coming my way. Oh, I wonder if it's a bicycle. I wonder if it's a football. What do you get me? Oh, my, but think about it. That's the way that all creation is waiting for the sons of God. That's why she's having these great earthquakes and hurricanes. Because what you're seeing is not the earth falling apart. You're seeing her shaking her knees and looking around, waiting on the edge of her seat. She's so anxious. She's so nervous. One of these days, Adam is coming back to take me over again. One of these days, sons of God are coming back to take me in creation again. Like a boy sitting there waiting on a doctor's appointment. He's just doing this number right there. You know what you see when you see that earth begin to quake and shake? That's just the earth rocking their knees, waiting. Oh, they're coming. It's getting that much closer. I wonder sometimes, children, if the earth ain't listening to some of these sermons being preached. If they got enough sense, if the birds and everything else got enough sense to know we're coming into creation and coming into our place, what about you sons and daughters of God full of the Holy Ghost? Come on, somebody. What about some of you full of the Holy Ghost? You ought to know it yourself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Notice in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 13-14. My son, eat thou honey because it is good. And the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. He said, John, it's going to be sweet in your mouth. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. The expectation, the word he uses in the Hebrew is tikva, which is a ground of hope, things hoped for. makes me wonder if this isn't where Paul might have got that scripture in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Proverbs 11:6-7, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. Huh? Because a man that ain't got the Holy Ghost, a man that ain't right with God, his expectation don't get any farther than the grave. Do you understand people that have no hope in the coming of the Lord Jesus, no hope in his return? Their expectation is cut off when they take that last breath of life on this earth. Now I want you to think, oh my, oh my, he says, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, but the hope of unjust men perisheth. So expectation, hope, faith, all of it goes together. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Proverbs 10:27-28, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope, oh Lord, I just found the fountain of youth. I bet they'd love to take a vitamin and put that on the market, wouldn't they? We've got the pill, though. It's the gospel.
Yeah.
The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Lord have mercy. This God we serve really believed in us being happy, didn't he?
Yeah.
But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Do you understand people that don't believe in his coming and aren't making ready for it? They have no expectation. They hope for the end. They hope for this. They hope for that. But when they take that last breath, it's over with. Their expectation ends with their death. But not so in the life of a child of God.
Amen.
Our expectation goes beyond that. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also, which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So when they go down with the same anticipation that he's coming. And when they come up, they're still looking for him.
Amen.
Oh God, think about that. They go down looking for him. They come up looking for him.
Right.
Some people ain't looking for him 5 minutes in church, much less the rest of their life.
Right.
Well, you know, if Jesus don't come in the next few minutes, let me tell you something, children. I want you to know that it could be 150 million years before Jesus came back for us. But if we go down to the grave, we'll go down looking for him. And if it's 5 billion years beyond, we'll come up with the same anticipation. Just as fresh, just as real, and just as earnest as when we went down to the grave. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. So this isn't Paul's idea. This is the word of the Lord.
Right.
Woe be to any preacher in this message that tried to change this right here.
Amen.
This is not Paul's thought. This is not Paul's idea. This is thus saith the Lord. But this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The word he uses here for bring, God will bring with them, is a Greek word, ego. The word means to lead as a general. Glory. So as Jesus is coming, descending out of the heavens down to the earth, he comes out of that seventh realm, come drop down into the sixth, to pick up all them theophany bodies that's gone into that dimension. Every saint of God that's went by the way of the grave, and their soul enters into that word-formed body. You realize that the preaching of Melchizedek was not the real mystery that was preached in February of 65 on Melchizedek. You can go back in history and find way on years before Brother Ben ever preached Melchizedek that there were men that was preaching that he was God. That it was the eternal one, Christ. But I'll ask you something. What was the real revelation of who is this Melchizedek? It was when he began to talk about that word, theophany. For the first time, the child of God understood the mystery of the journey of life and death. That when a man died in this body, his soul entered out of this body, had entered into a word form body called a theophany. And there they wait. There they wait in that dimension until Jesus sounds the trumpet. And he comes down from that great seventh dimension where God dwells, where God is himself, and drops down to that next realm and collects all of them bodies. And as a great general, he rides himself up there on the top horse as it was, raises up the Calvary flag and says, "All right, children, it's time to go back down to earth." Remember, Jesus' feet don't touch this earth to the millennium, but we meet Jesus somewhere between his home and our home. So somewhere there in the middle, somewhere between our home and his home, oh God, the cry will go out, a secret announcing that only the elect of God will be able to get, because this very next word tells us that. He comes down with a shout and a voice. All right, I'm going to spell to you this Greek word. Tell me if you understand what it is. The Greek word spells like this, P-H-O-N-E. Anybody can spell in here or read, I hope. What's the word? Phone. So not only is Jesus coming down with a shout, with a message, but he hooked us up to a divine line in heaven.
Oh, glory.
And one of these days, you'll be out there maybe mowing your yard, maybe be milking the cows or making an apple pie. And all of a sudden, the devil saying, "You ain't this, you ain't that, you ain't going to make it." Excuse me a moment, devil, I've got to answer a phone call. But Jesus is ringing that devil up to hallelujah, that divine heavenly line. It's time to go home, children, it's time to go home.
Amen.
You recognize that you and I have been connected by our expectation to the very announcing of his coming. Our expectation is the phone line being connected in.
Right.
When Jesus comes,
praise God.
Our expectation will pull him.
Thank God.
It'll pull him right out of that dimension. It'll pull Christ right out of that dimension. We'll so be expecting him. We'll so be looking for him. We'll so be desiring, even so, come Lord Jesus, that our expectation. That's exactly right. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. And taking sides with Jesus, Brother Man said, what if God would have told John the Revelator? Now, 2,000 years, it'll be that long at least before my coming. John would have come back and told the church and said, well, we might as well eat, drink, and be merry, because there's going to be many generations. Jesus ain't coming for 2,000 years. He said, see, no, the church would have been loose. Uh-oh. See, maybe that's the reason Jesus don't tell us he's coming, when he's coming, and how he's coming. Is that the reason that in the seventh seal, Brother Bam could not break the real understanding of the coming of the Lord publicly? Because the devil, if he'd have known the day and the hour that Jesus would return, could you imagine what kind of hell he'd break loose on this earth if he knew the day, the moment, the hour that Jesus would come? So when he broke the mystery of that seventh seal, the coming of the Lord, he broke it in a way that only the elected would know the revelation of it. Brother, I'm preaching. He held up his book. My old pastor told me, he said, he had great big letters, S-T-O-P. He said, I can't say no more about it. He said, that third pull's got to be a secret. He said, if the devil knew anything about it, he said it would cause great harm if he knew anything about it.
Right.
So not only is he keeping us on our toes, but he's keeping old Slewfoot on his toes. The devil don't know when Jesus is coming any more than you do. But remember this, Brother Man told us in the rapture, he said that bride will be waiting, 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 waiting upon the revelation of the rapture. And one of these days, remember, the seventh seal is open to you and I, but not revealed in a public way. But one of these days we'll get that divine phone call. And the Spirit of God will move on our hearts and open up that dimension and say, now, now is the time, children. Come on up, come on.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
So God hid it. He hid the mystery of the very moment he would come. So we would be ready.
Thank you, Jesus.
He said if the church would have known that it had been loose, there would have been no on the mark. There would have been no waiting. He said, after all, it's your anticipations. What? You mean the reason he don't tell me the hour and the moment he's coming is because it is my expectation that hastens the coming of the Lord?
Yes.
If your expectation isn't high enough, if the body isn't taught to expect, if the body isn't taught, could you imagine a woman carrying a child and have no expectation of its birth? No matter how much daddy was ready with those booties and what more, unless that woman herself had an expectation that that baby was coming, she'd walk around in denial all the time. God knew that it has to be a twofold affair. That not just him wanting to descend and open up that dimension, that realm, so that you could go up on into heavenly places, but he also knew that you had to be expectant. So God removed that something that would tell us the day, the moment, the hour, the second that he would come, just because our anticipation, our expectation had to be built to make ready.
Amen.
You see, some of you sisters know having a baby is a traumatic thing. Some of y'all that don't know, you're going to find out one of these, the Lord willing. What you understand is that if that woman is not prepared when she steps into that place and they put that gown on her and they start talking, you know, epidurals and all this kind of thing like that, it will literally almost scare the liver out of that woman. If she ain't ready, if she don't have any idea what she's getting into, it can be the most traumatic experience of her life. But Jesus didn't want the rapture and his coming to be that way to you. That when the final birth pain would, and you bring forth that promised word of Christ, and the elected of God would raise up out of here in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. He didn't want you to be unexpected.
Amen.
He didn't want you to go through it in a frightful, fearful way. But he explained to you what the labor room looks like. He told you what kind of gown they put on you and how the gown would feel. And he told you what kind of doctors would be there at your side. He told you what kind of medicine you'd need. A dose of the gospel, Holy Ghost. He told you what kind of inoculation. Listen, when this bride brings forth Christ, she won't be one bit surprised when that gets ready to happen, because she has been prepared over and over. Listen, the prophet of God said the most essential thing that we can do is get the people ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. I want to ask you something tonight. What is the most essential teaching in your home? Is it get money? In education, that's all fine, that's all good. Get wealth, get build up big houses. And what is the most essential teaching in your home? It should be the same as it is in the pulpit.
Amen.
Get ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, my, listen to that. After all, they said it is your anticipation. If you fall asleep in that watch, you'll wake with them same anticipations. Because it ain't going to hinder one thing. You're going to be right there on time. He said, see what I mean? St. Martin will awake in the resurrection. St. Paul and all the rest of them. It'll be just as fresh as if they was right in the battle, battling away.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory. Because they went down into those same anticipations, looking for his coming. And there'll be a scream come up. And up will come the whole church, and that'll be it. So there'll be one great cry. One great universal phone call.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And remember, Christ has already descended in the shout. So you're ready. You're ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. You're ready for the hour that Jesus drops out of the heavens. Remember, Brother Brandon likened it to Einstein's theory. He said that Einstein taught that if an object was moving at 1 billion miles per second, he said it could go move fast enough till objects could literally pass through one another. Take them two chairs right there. Put them at such a terrific speed, them chairs could pass right through each other and never even touch or hurt a molecule. The Bible says we're to be looking and hasting, Peter said, for the coming of the day of our God. But that Jesus is going to be moving so fast, your natural eye will never catch him. CNN will miss him completely. Fox News won't even be able to put a camera on him quick enough to catch him at speeds like that. And yet this bride should be in such a way of the synchronization of the power of God. Think about that. She'll be so synchronized and in tune with the Spirit of God. She'll be sitting there and the devil will be saying, you ain't nothing. You ain't nothing but a serpent. Well, what happened to Daniel? I was just there aggravating him. Where did he go anyways? Now you see me, devil. Now you don't. Hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus will move at such a terrific speed that when he sweeps through to catch us, it will be the sudden secret going away of the church.
Amen.
So all of those that's got their eyes on Dollywood or Disneyland or whatever else and ain't got their eyes on Jesus, when he comes, they're going to miss him.
That's
right. Do you recognize that if you're sitting in this church tonight and you're just religious, when Jesus comes, you'll miss him? If you're sitting here tonight and all you are is just a good church member, when Jesus comes, you'll miss him altogether. You've got to be synchronized. You've got to be in tune with God's power and God's Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I don't mean this to sound scolding, but if people can't keep up with the Word of the Lord and the house of God, and they got everything else on their mind except for church and the Spirit of God and the songs and all that sort of thing, how in the world are they going to be synchronized when Jesus comes back for them? People have got the attention span of a gnat. They don't hardly pay attention to nothing. You ever notice that? You go to talk to people in the world, you can get about two words out, and they're already looking around, trying to figure out what's going on to next. Why? Because the science itself knows that there's a progression of things going on. When has there ever been an hour when the internet and all of this technology has moved at such a terrific speed that you can take this very sermon tonight, upload it into your computer in a few seconds' time, it can be on the other side of the world? Don't you know what that's a type of? That's a type of what you and I are getting ready to experience. Hallelujah! In the moving of the Spirit of God, Jesus is going to come at such a terrific speed that it'll be faster than DSL. Cable won't be able to keep up with it. When it comes, it'll move so quickly that the devil won't even see it come and the devil won't even see it go. But there'll be a group that sees him. That's because she's watching him in that word. Because remember, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, the last trump that'll be sounded will be the trump about the catching away and the translation. I believe, you think what you want to, this is just my feeling of it, but I believe one of the last gospel messages that'll go out across this message will be the last trump gospel message of get ready for the coming of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, children. People that are sitting around playing games on God that are just kind of halfway in, halfway out, letting the devil take this from them, take that from them, you're going to be in sad shape after a while. If you don't get down to business with the Lord and get down to business with Christ and come to that spot to where you empty completely out and say, Lord, nothing to my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. There are going to be many church members on that day disappointed because they believe God sent a prophet. They believe the end time message. They believe Jesus was the Messiah, but they just wouldn't put their heart behind the message.
That's right. Amen.
Brother Bam put it this way. He said they just sympathize with it.
That's right.
Well, it's good. It's right. It's true. It's got to be better than just true and right. It better be your life's blood.
Amen.
Oh, when Jesus comes, children, we'll miss it altogether. Oh, God, help us. I don't want that. Do you? Do you want that to be said about you, that Jesus would come and then all of a sudden you'll see great hideous things and creatures raised up in your imaginary mind and you'll know from the teaching that you've had that you've missed the rapture? Could you imagine? When, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Friends, there's coming an hour when people that are sitting right here in message pews will go on having their conventions, go on having their meetings and all their great shindig and shouting and jerking and preaching a great name this and great name that, and Jesus would have already taken his bride out of their people sitting at the altar, and there's not one speck of mercy left for any of them. Oh God, friends, run to Calvary with all you got.
Amen.
Don't miss this great event. Don't miss this time that Jesus will descend to take us out of here. We have to have this expectation that whatever God said in this Bible right here, God himself is able to keep every word that he said in it.
Amen.
Is there a doubt in your mind? Do you doubt for a second that Jesus can keep his word? If he does, if you do, you need to get to the altar and ask God to help you tonight. If you've got one speck of doubt that you won't be named in that number when Jesus comes tonight or night, that you need to stop and say, Lord, I need an old-fashioned experience with Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something, children, when the roll is called up yonder,
yes,
only those that have been in that word daily and living their lives for Christ, they're the only ones that's going to make it on that day.
Right.
There are going to be many a preacher in this message wind straight up in hell.
Amen.
Because they were preaching for the money, preaching for the preaching's sake, preaching for whatever reason, and did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You say, oh, Brother Ben, preacher's not surely. Well, isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 7? He said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, didn't we prophesy? That word means preach.
Right. Amen.
The great disappointments is coming. Oh my. but the great jubilation that lays for those that their hearts have been looking and watching for that glad coming millennial day when our blessed Lord shall catch his waiting bride away. Stand. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, make us ready tonight morning. If there be one under the sound of my voice tonight that hasn't made that great eternal decision to serve you, they've been church members, they've been good people, but they haven't had the Holy Ghost. Don't let this service pass, Lord, before you deal with them. Don't let this service come to a close before you move on their soul. God, I can preach it, Lord, but I can't make them live it. You know my heart as bad as I would love to be able to sit right here, Lord Jesus, and grab them by the hand and fill them with the Holy Ghost if I had the ability. If I had the ability, Lord, to lay my hand on them and make them seed, you know I'd do it in a heartbeat. I'd lay hands on every person I could touch if I had that ability. But God, Jesus, Lord, the body of God, Jesus, the Son on the earth, said it's himself. The Son can do nothing in himself. You couldn't make people bride, Lord. You could only make them what they were. By preaching the word of the Lord to them, by preaching what was right, you could make them what they already were. As the word went forth, it would send some to an eternal destination of the blessed, and it would send some like Judas back to the regions of the lost where he come from. Oh my. Lord, we've heard so much this weekend about our inheritance and about the things, Lord, that lay in this flesh. And then tonight, we're hearing about how powerful our expectation is. Lord, I realize that these people have been through shakings. They've been through hard times, trials. I heard some of their talking over the weekend, some of the difficult things they've faced in life. Lord, truly, if you don't help us to keep an expectation, we're never going to come to the spot to where we can actually be ready for you. I'm afraid today, Lord, that many of the people in the message don't take this kind of preaching seriously. As a matter of fact, they look at this kind of preaching as unnecessary. Shame on them. As a matter of fact, I feel sorry for them, Lord. Because God, one of the most essential things, this is what your prophet said. I didn't say this, Lord. Your prophet said it. One of the most essential things that we can do is get the people prepared. Oh God, have I failed? Have I failed anywhere, Lord, in making that happen? If I've missed it somewhere, if I haven't emphasized certain things strong enough, help me. Help me as your servant, Lord, as your son. And God, I can get your children prepared with what little allotment you've given me in the ministry. Lord, I'm not a great preacher. I don't have a lot of class and wisdom and so forth. I'm just dumb enough to follow you, I guess. I'm not some kind of what the world identifies as a top 10. Lord God, how shameful is it when people in this message do such things? Lord, I don't count myself to be anything great at all. But Lord, with what little part you've given me, help me to get the people ready, Lord. Help me to get them prepared for your coming. If I failed or missed you anywhere, Lord, I want to be right. If I've missed you in any way, maybe a way I've preached something, a way I've said something, maybe I didn't emphasize it strong enough, I want to be right, Jesus. Help me, God, to settle my thoughts and my heart upon what's right. That I can help your children be right, Lord. For them tonight, I pray that the Spirit of God will ever be mindful of their lives. Right where they stand here tonight, Jesus. Some of them as they sit up here around the platform, back around the back in different ways. I pray, God, that the Holy Ghost would draw near to the believers tonight. May you draw near to your believing children, Lord. And may you just coo and woo over their heart. Hallelujah. That the Spirit of God could just find that little place inside of them. When the word has been preached, sometimes it cuts open old wounds and old sores, Lord. God, sometimes that word so sharp it cuts open old things, Lord, that's been sealed up and scarred and laying there. Oh my. But Jesus, take your balm of Gilead tonight. Rub it into our hearts. Take all bitterness, malice, grief, envy, whatever it might be, Lord. Cleanse us of such things tonight. And help us, my Father, to be ready. Lord, of the greatest healing that you could do for us tonight, heal our expectation. Heal our expectation. Help us to be more expected now than we've ever been in our entire lives, Lord. Because God, your coming is so much closer now than it's ever been. And we need to be ready. Help us tonight, Jesus, won't you? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. With your hands raised now, would you help me just want to say, Lord, that's my desire tonight, God, before your presence. That you'd make me ready. That you'd give me an expectation. That if my expectancy ain't what it needs to be, help it to be what it needs to be, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, God, you see every hand up before you tonight, Jesus. Lord, little ones and older ones with their hands alike, God, I thank you for these little ones. Lord Jesus, as I said earlier, there'll be the church of today coming on tomorrow, Lord. May the Spirit of God, I pray, move for each one of them in your own special, gracious way. May your Holy Spirit just come and move on every life, every heart, all the preachers, all the deacons, trustees, as it were, and musicians and housewives and farmers and, oh my, everyone in divine presence tonight that believes you, Lord. May you just move on them tonight, Jesus. Give them that great expectation and help them, God, to be ready for your coming, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord Jesus. Bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord Jesus. Bless you, Lord. We give you praise tonight in your house, oh God.
Yes.
We give you thanksgiving in your house tonight, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We raise up the voice of praise, the voice of supplication.
Praise
we raise up the hands, Lord. Your prophet said we were born and made to be worshipers. Oh, we worship you tonight, Jesus. We give you praise and glory. We thank you, Father, for the way you've moved for us this weekend, Lord. Oh, God, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your unction. Thank you for the divine moving of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We bless you tonight, Jesus. We give you praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I think it's C, actually. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb, O sinners slain.
Blood has washed away.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Wash and take all my fears, doubts away. Hallelujah, hallelujah, let me stay thy Lord. Oh, my faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now
Hallelujah.
Father, how we thank you. How we thank you, Jesus. How our hearts, Lord, are warmed by your presence.
Yes.
How we thank you tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your great word that's making us ready.
Thank you, Jesus.
We love you, Lord. Don't let nothing stand in our way, Jesus. Don't let difficulty or trouble. Don't let nothing stand in our way, God, of being ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take somebody by the hand standing next to you. Let's offer a word of prayer before we go. Bless and give the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we lay our hands on our brothers and sisters, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus. As we feel your presence sweeping around the building, we're asking God to be great moving power. Hallelujah. That great quickening power that quickened the bones of Elisha, that quickened the bones of Moses, that great holy power that quickened the body of the Lord Jesus. May that power settle on us tonight. May the great unction of the Spirit of God so move. That God will convert our thinking into bride-like thinking. That you'll manifest your great Spirit here tonight. Let that great dove, hallelujah, let it just settle down on us tonight. Hallelujah. May God, you just bring the refreshing with you, Lord. Not so many of us need it tonight. The refreshing of your presence, Lord. Some I'm down, discouraged. I sense while I was preaching that devil of discouragement, Satan, I adjure you, you devil, you liar. In the name of Jesus, you've been exposed by the preaching of the word tonight. And I adjure you in Jesus' name. May the power of the resurrected Christ. Lord, our religion's the only one that can produce an empty tomb. We don't believe you're dead. We believe you're alive, Jesus. We don't believe you settled down in no grave, nowhere. No, the quickening power brought you up.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, may the Holy Spirit settle down on these, your children, tonight.
Yes, Lord.
May you quicken their language, quicken their thoughts, quicken their actions,
yes,
quicken their feelings, quicken their soul, quicken their spirit, quicken their memory. Everything about them, Lord, tonight, may you quicken it by the holy power,
yes,
of God. May the great Spirit of God that's illuminated ourselves tonight, illuminated us this week, and let us see what we are and who we are.
Yes, Lord.
God, may you just bring about such a great change in these, your children. We'll be able to raise our hands and glorify you for the great mighty works that you've done in the name,
yes,
of your Son. I bless you, my Father. I give you glory tonight in the house of God.
Yes,
I praise you, my Holy Savior.
Hallelujah.
I praise you tonight, Lord,
yes,
Jesus.
Lord.
Lord, we feel your presence in the building. We raise our hands and worship you. We give you glory right now in the house of God. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Jesus, our Savior, come quickly, Jesus. Come quickly for a bride that's ready for you.
Yes,
a bride that's dressed in wedding garments made of white.
Thank you, Lord.
Made white and clean in the blood of the Lamb, our Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you tonight. We bless you tonight. We bless you tonight, Lord. We bless you tonight. We give you glory in the house of God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. God, I don't like to see a service close unless you get to visit us, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for coming.
Yes, Lord.
Strengthen your children tonight, God. We need it. We need it, Lord, in this dark, evil age. We need it. I wonder tonight why the saints are praying. I just feel compelled somehow if there's a sinner in this building tonight and you want to get be saved, you want to have salvation in your heart, step out of your seat, come up here, let us pray for you, will you?
If you don't have gospel salvation, you could be the littlest child in this building or the oldest man. You need gospel salvation. I'm compelling you now. Come to the altar. Let a man of God lay his hands on you. Let these servants of God pray for you and pray you through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's for you tonight. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to guess. If Jesus is dealing with your heart and you want to be right with him, let him just move tonight in your heart, in your soul. If you want to be right with him, he's here for you. He said, whosoever will, let him drink of the waters of life freely. Freely. You don't have to bring nothing. Just bring yourself tonight. If you're a backslider in this building, in the name of Jesus, I compel you to come get your life right with God. As a matter of fact, I charge you in Christ's name to get right with the Lord tonight. Every person in this building that has a need in your heart and you're a believer, right now while the Holy Spirit's sending on you, I charge you in Christ's name to take God and his word right this hour for every need that you have right now in this building. Let the Holy Spirit bring and deliver that great need to your heart. Let your faith, let your expectation reach out yonder and grab a hold of the promise of the word and make it live tonight. Amen, 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 hallelujah. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. You're welcome to come as we sing it again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody sing now. Raise your voice to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now some are coming now. You're welcome. Come pray. Come seek the face of God. This altar ain't going to change you. It's your faith that will change you. But take them steps of faith. Say, Lord, I'm here tonight. I'm asking you, God, to move on my behalf. In the name of Jesus, let the Holy Spirit move for you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. God, worship God. Well, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, yes, we do tonight. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, you, Jesus. Glory to God to the highest. Glory to God to the highest. The Lamb of God to be praised. Well, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have a victory. Yes, we do. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Yes, it up, devil. For when we come, in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand. Have a victory. Say it again. Well, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have a victory. How many's got it tonight? Just wave in the back like this. Well, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Oh, what it is, diabetes, tuberculosis, you've got to pray in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we have a victory. Oh, when we come, in the name of Jesus, tell me, who will stand before special meeting time to get started. Well, Lord, send the power just now. Well, Lord, send the power just now. Well, Lord, send the power just now. And baptize everyone. Oh, I'm singing, Lord, send your power just now. Just now. Some of y'all act like Pentecost is about to scare you to death. Now, come on, don't be scared of this thing. It's amen. Promised to the elect of God.
Amen. That's right.
Amen, amen, amen. I believe what we've had right here tonight is exactly what that word promised we can
amen.
Have.
Amen. That's right.
God, there's right. people think what they want to. I don't believe this religion we pack around should be a religion of joyless, powerless, godless, tasteless, unctionless, emotionless religion. I want you to know, I read the other day the prophet of God said, God hates a powerless religion.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I believe this religion we serve got power in it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe it's right, don't you? Well, Lord, 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 send the power just now. Well, Lord, come on, loosen up, friends. Let the Lord bless you tonight. Well, Lord, 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 send the power just now. Well, they were all in one accord, amen. When the Holy Ghost descended, as was promised by our Lord. Well, they sang, Lord, 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 send the power just now. And Lord, Lord, send the power just now. Lord, Lord, send the power just now. And baptize everyone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you, friends. It's been good to be with you. I'm going to go get changed and run out of here like I'm on fire, okay? 500 miles. God bless you. Pray for us, will you? Brother Tony, we love you, buddy. Love you. Thank you for letting us come. Daniel, yes, all you brothers, good to see each one of you. We love you all very, very much. You may not stick around and shake too many hands, but we're going to go ahead and get on the road, all right? We love you. God bless you so very much. We thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for your love. Most of all, I kind of enjoyed preaching to you.
Amen.
Amen.
I liked it. I really did.
I enjoyed it.
I give you a hard time about being quiet, but some of y'all are going to have to move sometime or another. Lord have mercy. If the early Pentecostals come in here and saw us sitting there looking like that, they would be ashamed of us like who wouldn't have it. And we claim we got the original. Come on, smile every now and then.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Right?
Amen.
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 Amen. I tell our people back home, look, I said, if you're wide open doing that, I said, honey, bless your heart, be wide open doing that. Not everybody has to act like Brother Ben, but I promise you, let the Lord get a hold of your heart, let Jesus get a hold of you right, it'll make you do something. That's right, and I don't believe we have to live below our privileges. I believe we were made to worship. I believe we were born to worship, huh? I believe God give us the unction to raise our hands. You don't have to be ashamed. You can raise them with joy. You can raise them with confidence, knowing our God gave it to us. And I don't care what lukewarm devil in this message says, this is all gone and out the whistle. They can have their whistles. I've got praise.
Amen.
Well, Lord, Lord, Lord,
send the power just now. Lord, 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 send the power just now.
Loves the Lord.
Amen.
You know, if you get enough joy in your heart, it's got to show.
Sure.
That's what Brother Branham said. He saw people all rejoicing in the Lord, dancing in the Spirit, and those sort of things. And he was a little bit critical of it at first. But he said, I found out that if you get enough joy, it makes something happen. Let me prove that to you. Your joy is to be shared. It's not to be bottled up inside. That is why that when something strikes you as being really funny, you don't just do this. It's a natural tendency to what? To open up your mouth and just belly laugh.
Right.
Right? You can't keep from it.
Right.
Amen.
God put that in you because when you have joy, he wants you to share that joy with everybody else. And I don't know about you, but I can sit and watch somebody laugh and I get a blessing. I get to laugh and just watching them laugh. Because it's catchy. But that's it. You know, you want to let your joy be known. And I think if we just get in the presence of the Lord enough, I think that it will do that. You know, tongues didn't interrupt anything, did it?
Nope.
No. I'll tell you a little secret. About 3 seconds before that happened, in my heart, I said, Lord, have somebody speak in tongues. That may shake you, but that's what I said. And 3 seconds or 4 seconds later, you heard it. And the Lord blessed us.
Right? Amen.
So we don't want to be starchy, stiff-necked message people.
No.
We want to be alive.
Amen.
We want the Holy Spirit to have the liberty. We want to be that church, just like it was at the beginning in Pentecost. That, as Brother Branham said, they busted through doors and windows and everything else they could, coming out into the street to let the blessing of the Lord be made known. And so, listen, I'll be the first one to tell you that we're not going to put songs and stuff like that ahead of the Word. But I tell you what, something that's alive, you're going to know that it's alive.
That's right.
Amen. So that's certainly what we want. We thank the Lord for his blessings that he's given us this weekend. And take it with you. What you've heard, put it to use. And I will tell you, Satan is already out there standing outside the door ready to try and rob the prisoner.
Right.
But you determine in your heart right now, Satan, you're not going to take what's mine. You're always giving it to me. I'm going to take it, and my home is going to experience it this week. What you have done for me today. And that's it. You are more than what you think.
Praise God.
You are the mystery. You could ask the world, well, do you think Jesus Christ could change circumstances? And they're going to tell you, no, we know he can do this. It's not, the mystery is not in him. It's not in his power. The mystery was not in the days of Esther, King Ahasuerus. Wasn't a mystery that King Ahasuerus could make a statement and save all the Jewish people. That wouldn't be a mystery. But the mystery was how she could do it. Right?
Right.
But she could do it because she had that much of an entrance, that much of a pull with the king.
Right.
And that's where it is. You and I have a position where we really do. We have that much pull with him. But Satan tells us we don't. And so that's where it lies. Yeah, it takes time for us to live the Word of God. As Brother Ben said, it takes time. We can't just hit it all at once. But and when he said that, I thought, you know, when I was a kid growing up, we had this real old truck that we'd go haul wood in. And it's just an old beat up thing, but it had standard transmission and it had what we called granny gear. And it was, you pull that, and you know it's got the regular H, but you could pull it over and down into that one, that real low gear. And it was such a low gear. And if you know anything about the way things like that work, the lower it's geared in speed, the more push
right.
you can get, the more torque it has. And so we were just in hauling woods up and down in the hills and everything, and over rocks and stuff. You know, you didn't need to go real fast because you was having to dodge trees and stuff like that. But you had a heavy load, so you needed power. And the point I'm trying to get at is that, yeah, it might take all day long to get where you was going, but if anything got in the way of that truck and tried to stop it, it wouldn't move any faster, but you wouldn't slow it down.
Right.
It'd just push it right out of the way. And that's it. We may not get there today, but we are like that granny gear. We have more behind us, more force behind us, taking our time. God will get us there, but if the devil gets in our way, you watch what happens.
Right.
See, that's what I'm saying. So we'll make it. So God bless you. Let's sing that again as you go. And you be blessed. Have a blessed week.